This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Dedicate this to all you beautiful faces, but especially to April. To fulfill the need to be who I am in this world is all I ask. I can't pretend to be something that I'm not, and I want to wear a mask. Ooh, you touched my face with love in your eyes, but will you touch my heart with the understanding that it takes to realize that I just can't play a part. I've got this need to be true to myself and make my own mistakes.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Guardian Radio AM. It's Friday morning. It's 11 o'clock, May 6th, and I am C.A. Nuri. And again, I'm happy to be your host for today. Yesterday, a handful of child protection advocates rallied in front of Parliament Square, paying tribute and remembering the life of young baby Bella. Today marks 6 months since the brutal murder of the child. The group under the banner of Rise Bahamas highlighted the need for better protection from harm, verbal abuse, and neglect of Bahamian children. Present at that rally was my guest today. My guest heads her own advocate group and organization, but often she lends her voice in support of such matters. I'm grateful for her effort. My guest today is Miss Alexa DeMarco. And let me just go over her profile. She is the Foundation Director of the DeMarco Organization, Executive Director of United Caribbean Trans Network, Executive Director of the Bahamas Organization of LGBTI Affairs. She's the Caribbean coordinator of Red Lac Trans. She's the chief officer, executive officer of BTIU. She's a former advocate of SASH Bahamas. She studied gender and development studies at the University of the West Indies. And she is a part of the international group, director at United Caribbean Trans Network. So I welcome Alexis DeMarco.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. Before I get into why I invited you here, mm-hmm. I know that you were a part of an organization mm-hmm. Who were downtown, right? Yes. And that you lend your voice. I saw that you spoke at the rally. And I want to know, like, why did you decide that there's a need for your voice to be there, that to be present on this particular issue?
Well, as a human rights defender, you cannot be selective in your advocacy, and issues that face our region, face the Bahamas in particular, I think as an NGO and as a prominent NGO, our voices need to be heard in solidarity with that of Rise Bahamas, because the issue on the table is talking about violence, it's talking about rape, it's talking about incest, it's talking about molestation to our children. And these things we sweep under the rug in the Caribbean country, especially here in the Bahamas. We don't talk about these things, especially when it involves family. It's very taboo. So we felt the need at the DeMarco organization to lend our hand and lend our voice to this issue because it affects those persons within our community.
Okay. And if you are listening and you're unaware, DeMarco is a trans person. Is that a correct term?
Yes, I am a trans citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, correct.
And I want to basically appreciate you, your narrative of growing up in the Bahamas as a trans person, you know, and you coming into accepting your identity, right? So just basically give me like a history of you growing up in the Bahamas to the point where you decided to become a advocate and lead your own organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, growing up in the Bahamas, coming under a religious background, coming from a loving family, coming from a family that at that time did not understand the difference between sexual orientation and one's gender identity, not realizing that it was a medical issue until we started going to doctors and finding out exactly what was going on with me. So growing up, I could remember the all hell breaking loose at a primary school I went to, and I told the teacher, I said, you know how they line you up, girls on one line, boys on the next line. So I told the teacher, I said, you have me on the wrong line.
And what age was this?
I was in grade four. I can remember.
So you were in grade four, right. And they had a typical lineup.
Yeah, you know? How you go, boys on one line, girls on one line. I shouted out, no, you have me on the wrong line. I'm supposed to be on the girls' line. Mm-hmm. And that's when all the hell broke loose.
I can imagine.
I remember my family taking me to Sandilands. I remember them holding, the doctor holding up these black ink placards saying, what do you see? Oh, I see myself running through flowers. I see flowers. I see butterflies.
I want to talk about that too briefly. Mm-hmm. You said your family were concerned.
Yes.
And they took you at Sandilands Rehabilitation Center. Okay. What was the concern? What do you think was the concern?
I think the concern was more, how can we fix my child?
So they thought you were broken.
Like something's wrong. Like how can we fix my child? Is my child have a mental disorder? Along those lines, you know, parents not understanding during that time. But so happened we had... The teacher actually was Miss Phyllis Rose, and her brother was Dr. Matthew Rose. Back mm-hmm. in that time, there was the St. Luke's Children's Medical Center. Mm-hmm. So I remember after that going to St. Luke's Medical Center, where Dr. Matthew Rose, who was way ahead of his time here in country as it relates to children and the development of children, specifically telling my parent that your child testicles hasn't descended. They're still inside of them. So it brought up another issue of, is the child intersex? Is the child have different variations in chromosomes? So that's when the medical intervention started to happen. I think for my...
And when you say medical intervention, what do you mean by that?
Medical intervention meaning getting professional, a doctor's opinion on my child. Because what we have here, we have a lot of parents who decide who their children should be, especially if they are intersex or they're born with both sexual organs or chromosomes that are more female and more male, more XXY chromosomes or more XY chromosomes. At birth, we don't test these things. We test these things when persons are adult. We can't even get a baby when they are born to get a regular checkup, mm-hmm. much less testing chromosomes at birth. So I think for me, my journey was more of identifying my medical issues mm-hmm. and also dealing with my psychological issues. And the psychological part comes from the intervention of religion, where they would probably say, okay, it's probably a mental disorder, the child is confused, the child is this, the child. But at that age, it had nothing to do with sexual orientation. And that's why we now know that gender identity and sexual orientation are two different things. And understanding that component, that when you deal with trans and intersex people, it's more medical condition as opposed to dealing with somebody who is heterosexual, somebody who's a lesbian, or somebody who's bisexual. That's a sexual orientation. As opposed to one's gender identity is who they identify with. So growing up, I think the best way to explain to the Bahamian public between sexual orientation and gender identity is who you go to bed with is sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. And who you live your life as or who you are is your gender identity.
Okay. And before we move on to junior high school, so I can understand how you were doing there, mm-hmm. right? I want to have some definitions, okay. right? Because, you know, you studied this, right? What exactly is a trans person?
Well, a trans person is a person whose body does not match their brain, or whose body, who was born. You can never change how you were born. So if they told you, like if you have a child and you notice that the child is displaying characteristics of femininity or girl child displaying masculinity, that does not equate to them being a trans person or them being gay.
So they can have boyish personalities or girlish personalities and still not be gay.
No.
Or still not be trans.
Trans, right. No, that has nothing to do with it. And that's a misconception in our Caribbean country and also around the region. Just because you see a child playing with a doll baby means, oh, he's going to be gay or he's going to be... No, he just might see mommy all the time patting the baby. So he takes the baby and pats the baby. So we equated to girls who are more masculine presenting. They are more tomboyish, the word used in the Caribbean. In the Bahamas, we equate that to them. Oh, they're going to be gay. They're going to be a dyke. No, it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. For a trans citizen, a trans person, they know from a very young age exactly who they are. Now, what happens is that during that period, there is a process that the child will begin to display certain attributes, nothing dealing with sex again, attributes that are leaning more to the gender that you may think your child is, but their brain is telling them there's something else. No, they're not crazy.
So you'd basically tell me that a lesbian is not a trans person.
No.
And a gay man is not a trans person at all.
No,
they're
no.
separate
they're,
altogether.
They're separate persons. Because
so what about an intersex?
An intersex person, again, they're not a gay, they're not a lesbian, they're not a trans. The intersex person are born with more characteristics and more chromosomes, or their body parts are totally both, or they have the same. But what happens with the intersex person or the intersex trans person is the parents decide at a very young age, like, I want a boy child, so remove the extra. I want a girl child, so remove the extra. And it's pure violence at birth. It's pure violence because when that child grows up, there's a whole different thing going on, and you realize, oh, my God, I'm dealing with something else. And mostly these types of cases are shipped off to the United States, or they ship them off to Canada, or they ship them somewhere else, and that's what we want to stop. We want to stop shipping our children off. We want to have medical doctors who are able to intervene as it relates to intersex children, mm-hmm. who relates to identifying the rights of trans citizens, making sure they have their access to health care, make sure they have the access to correct mental health therapy, make sure they have the things that they need to survive as a citizen of the country. So again, it goes back to a medical issue, and medical professionals in the country have started to speak about this. They've started to realize that we do have a group of citizens here in the country that we've left behind. But because it gets mixed up with sexual orientation, mm-hmm. they fall through the cracks. So the voices of trans and intersex persons aren't heard on the level as it should be as a medical issue. It's heard based on sexuality and morality.
And I want to explore that some more, mm-hmm. but I want one more definition so I can actually use it correctly. What is a cis man, or I think a cis woman?
Okay, so you'd hear people, especially within the NGO world or in the medical profession, talk about cisgendered people. Cisgendered people are persons like yourself who align with the... who align with the gender identity that they were born as, they were born with, or they, you align as a man. You totally notice that you're a man. There's no variations that you're a man. Your brain doesn't tell you anything different. Your body doesn't show you anything different. So the word is used cis, and the reason why we use that, it's called an alignment. And if you use the word cis, you would see that's the meaning of it. So they would use that terminology.
I didn't know. I thought it was one of those LGBT
spectrum. No.
Cis. Okay. It's completely contrary.
Right. It's respect. It's just respecting the human being. It's respecting the individual, using the correct terminology when you identify a person. For example, when you talk about a trans person, you don't call them tranny, or you don't call them chicks with blah, all these derogatory terms, because that's medical stuff. You call them a trans person or a trans citizen. That's the correct term. You won't go wrong with those words.
Okay.
If you don't want to say woman, if you don't want to say man, you identify them as a person, and that's the human rights part of it, and that's the dignity anybody should have, from the church level down to civil society. Person, a citizen, that's the language you should use.
And I want to go on to your junior high school story, but in terms of these terms, is there an organization who said, well, these are the acceptable terms? Because all my life I knew, trying to understand mm-hmm. the community or appreciate the community, I heard of the term transsexual, mm-hmm. right? I heard of the term lesbian, mm-hmm. Gays. I just realized that gay means man and lesbian actually is woman. I didn't know that. I thought you could use it vice versa, right? And in appreciating the term intersex, right? Mm-hmm. But is there a place to say, well, these are the official definitions. This is how I want to be viewed as. This is how what I'm going to be called as.
Well, the World Health Organization obviously has a guideline for medical professionals and for people to understand the terminology and the correct terminology. Again, it's a medical issue. So a lot of doctors would be familiar with the jargon as opposed to regular everyday citizens. Mm-hmm. But through the work that I do and the advocacy that I do, we do have a space that we do talk about terminologies, and we have workshops with social services. We have workshops with Ministry of Health so they can understand the jargon. If you would notice back in when PEPFAR was here, the Bahamas was a part of that program in their response to curtailing HIV in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And they had a component of that program through the Ministry of Health that included trans persons. So when you collect data in the country, we now know how many trans citizens we have who access that program at Victoria Garden. So that was a good introductory point to teach jargon, to teach language. When you now fill out a form for an HIV test or you go to a clinic for any regular test, NCDs, diabetes, mm-hmm. anything like that, there's a form that how do you identify?
Oh, there is a form in the Bahamas now?
Yes, we have progressed.
So the form would say male, female, and how do you identify something to
correct.
That
effect? It will have, it has male, female, or you would see that has, for those who understand cisgender, male, female, cisgender, trans person, trans male, trans female, intersex. And the reason for that is because to capture the data, they need to be able to say, this is how many persons we have in country. Nice. And that's an entry point for the Ministry of Health. And it's a good applauded program because you have a lot of parents who just don't know, like, should I just cut it off because I want a boy? Should I just send him to because I want a girl? Like, we're living in a different time and dispensation, and society is changing, and people are being born different. And these aren't things that you create. These are things that come from the universe. So how do we deal with them? Do we just leave them in the hospital like we do disabled children? Do we just leave them behind like we do our crippled children? Do we leave them behind when we do our autistic children? Again, these are issues that we need to talk about and explore. And medical professionals in the Bahamas are now being equipped to be able to deal with these types of children and deal with these types of citizens.
So let's talk junior high school and high school.
Well, for me, I was just viewed as Queenie, Fox Hill girl, all the rough boys love me, the classmates love me. And the reason why is because they equated with intelligence. Oh, that's just an intelligent person. At that time in school, you're not thinking about sex. So it wasn't about sex. So with this idea of being gay, or the word they use is sissy, they never equated that back then.
With sexuality.
Correct.
You're just saying you're soft.
Right, Alexis, that's how. Anybody who knows me, this is me, me. Like, this isn't a pretend, this isn't a play. So obviously they knew, but they didn't know my medical issues because that's not something you talk about. That's not, it was so to the extent that the bathroom I would use would be the janitor's bathroom. I never went to physical education. I opted out of physical education to
all
do computer. Yes. Like, it's very traumatizing. Like, you know, boom. But anyway, so I never attended those things. Using the restroom in school, I would go into the janitor's bathroom, into the tuck shop area, and I would go and use that bathroom. That's how severe it was for me, like not to expose myself or not to be seen or, mm-hmm. you know. So, but I worked through those issues.
But in junior school, what did you that you personally identified yourself as? Or you're still in? You're just
ambiguous. Everybody know that's Queenie. No terminologies back then mm-hmm. was used. People would call, I remember this word that you always just say hermaphrodite, and this person is an hermaphrodite, but that's violence. That's not the right word. Hermaphrodilia deals with animals. It doesn't deal with human beings. So the correct word is intersex, trans, intersex, however you put it. But back then in school, we were children. He wasn't trying to be nobody else but children, mm-hmm. you know. But again, as a trans citizen navigating, as a trans youth navigating, you still had these barriers that you had to overcome back then.
Give me one barrier.
Again, access to play pee. Mm. Like in school, you want to play pee, but okay, I don't want to shower with them.
Yes.
And these were requirements, you know. These were things that happened in school. And I know the boys used to be like, "Yeah, Queenie ain't playing. Just give them the homework. Let them do the homework. Mm-hmm. She'll do our homework first." Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. So. For me, that's basically what it was. I was able to find my own space to navigate how am I going to go through these? And when I became an adult and I began to understand the importance of self-identification and the importance of having access to healthcare, mm-hmm. having access, how do I deal with this? Because it had nothing to do with my sexual orientation. At one point, I really thought I was asexual, having no sexual desire for nobody. Mm-hmm. So that's how I knew something was different. And then growing up, as you get older, just how you pick up a math book and a textbook and you read, you start reading, oh, okay, this that is what it is. Oh, and then you begin hearing other people like you share the stories. And you'd be like, okay, that's what that means. But in the Bahamas, the only person I saw who was like me was a lady named Vicky.
I want to go there. Two-form question. One is, what do you identify yourself, if you're comfortable with that, as right now? And when did you ever, first time you meet someone similar to you, say, well, she's like me.
Yes.
You know, that epiphany where you say, I need to connect. Hi.
I used to be on this thing called my Bahama Issues. It was
yes. That was a big thing back in the day.
Right. Back then, my name was She Boy.
Well, She Boy.
Yeah, and I used to infiltrate those rooms, and I used to listen to the conversations, and I always used to listen to this person named Vicky, and she always used to talk about how she's married to a lady, she's attracted to women, but she's a trans person, and I'd always hear her stories in that room, and that's when I said, oh, okay, that's the correct terminology, that's the word. But from Dr. Matthew Rowe's time, I knew it was something. But as a young child, you don't mm-hmm. remember these terminologies. And it's not about being politically correct in the terminologies. It's about how you identify as a human being mm-hmm. and as a person. And my existence here in the Commonwealth Department, Bahamas, is very important now because of young persons who are going through or maybe going through the same things that I go through, that they don't have to go through those types of stereotypes of violence, discrimination, being mm-hmm. able to access healthcare, to be able to access a good education, you know, having family conflicts, mm-hmm. being thrown out of the house because parents are not understanding that you're different or that you're a part of a medical issue. And to be quite frankly, most Bahamian parents cannot afford that.
Because I heard you went to hospitals and doctors. That takes some yes. money and time and effort. Loving parents.
I'm going to tell, no, it took me having to survive. It took me having to be on the streets. It took me having to find people in my character, in my community, to be able to help me, to be able to access hormonal treatment, to be able to access mental health care, to be able to access these things. So it took a community. The thing about it is here is that now there's so much information. Like parents now have options. Parents have options. People have options.
Let's talk about your adulthood, right? Now you identify yourself as a trans person, mm-hmm. right? And you are about to do some transformation of yourself. I want to know.
Like, when you talk about, the language is very important.
Yes, and correct me.
So transformation, it's affirming. It's
okay, actually affirming, called, affirming. And thank you very much. So yeah. I can use the correct terms, variants, because I don't want to make people uncomfortable.
Correct. So it's actually affirming. And again, having access to healthcare is another issue. Here in the Bahamas, we don't have that access to healthcare. So we have to work twice as hard to mm-hmm. save the money mm-hmm. to be able to have doctors who can do the interventions for us, who can affirm that which we are, or who can actually say, no, you don't have to cut off the penis to have a girl child.
But you're rushing the conversation because I'm still don't understand what affirm is. And I want you to explain that for
affirming,
a brief moment.
Okay, so affirming somebody, for mm-hmm. example, is affirming, having you deciding that this is what you want, not a parent deciding this is what you should be. Or not a parent affirming, I want a boy child, so move the vagina. Mm-hmm. Or affirming you as an individual, as a citizen, affirming yourself. Again, that's why I'm an advocate for parents to wait until their child becomes an adult, okay. or wait until their child, you begin to understand the child, and the child begins to self-identify on themselves before you taking it upon yourself to affirm that child's identity.
So at what age range did you start your affirmation?
Oh, I was 19. I wasn't in that part.
And in terms of affirming, what was that process for you? What does that translate to?
Affirming starts with one, knowing who you are, okay. without a shadow of a doubt. Not through medical interventions, not through surgeries, not through anything. It's identifying who you are as a person. How do you perceive yourself?
So
how
you identify yourself as a trans person?
I'm a trans person, medically trans person. Mm-hmm. So identifying your gender. Again, gender is a whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. You have persons who identify as cisgender because they align.
Okay.
So when it comes to the medical part of it, you want to be able to go into a PE room. Mm-hmm. You want to be, so that's what you call affirming. Mm-hmm. You want your child to be able to not be confused as two sexual body parts. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come from surgical interventions. Again, I want to stress that again. It does not rush for surgical interventions. It does not rush for you to decide exactly what your child should be or who your child should be. You have to wait because the brain is a body. The brain is an organ. The brain functions. Again, people would say, well, if I want to be a cat, I could be a cat. No, we're talking about human beings. We're talking about self-identifying people. These are medical issues. And you would see these signs. You don't wake up one day and say, oh, I'm trans. People don't do that. The process may be longer because of social economic backgrounds, not being able to afford certain things to be able to affirm yourself. But the thing about it is it's a personal journey,
mm-hmm.
it's a medical journey,
mm-hmm.
and it requires your comfortability as a citizen and your comfortability as a parent, and you have to have these conversations to be able to identify this.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break now. I'm talking to activist advocate Alexis DeMarco, and she's telling her personal story of her affirmation, right? And we are now where she's an adult, and she's just going through her affirmation. And we are about to talk about her becoming an advocate in general and explain some of the resources and some of the concerns she has living inside the Bahamas as a trans person. So we'll be right back right after this commercial break.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm having a conversation with Miss Alexis DeMarco, who is in charge of the DeMarco Foundation, who's an advocate in the Bahamas. And she's basically explaining her life story and about her affirmation. And we are now about at age 19, 20-ish, adult, and basically an adult. And you went off to get certified. Right?
Yeah.
What did you go off? Where did you go off? I mentioned it before, but I want to hear you tell your story in terms of your certification, your education, in terms of you being an advocate for this particular area.
Well, my advocacy came not during my 90s, probably about in my 30s, okay. 29, 30s. And it happened during the period I was offered a scholarship to the University of the West Indies. Mona Campus in Barbados.
You're a good girl.
Yes. In Barbados, and sorry, Cave Hill in Barbados. And I was able to access education. And through that access of education, I was able to study gender studies and pass with a distinction. I was able to understand the patriarchal system, understanding femininity, understanding feminist movements, understanding the whole culture of colonialism. I mean, I already had these types of information, but being certified and going to Cave Hill really showed me that there is a place here for you to be able to educate persons, to be able to use the tools that you've learned, to be able to sensitize decision makers, gatekeepers, government officials. So that's where I got the whole start from. And then I began being invited to join different boards, especially at the UN level.
Okay, tell me about that. List some boards.
The OAS. Committees as far as PANCAP. PANCAP, I was the youth steering committee person, vice chair for ensuring that no youth is left behind as it relates to NCDs, HIV, tuberculosis. I was the voice for that for the regional Caribbean group. Then I joined a core group at the UN who dealt specifically with LGBTI issues within the Caribbean region. I was able to navigate the UN space when they have UN meetings and talk about, and then my voice for the Caribbean region. Then I went into the OAS, the Organization of American States, where my advocacy really took off as it relates to the Caribbean country and being able to educate our decision makers and our policy makers on citizens of our country that we don't normally talk about.
And how's that going in terms of the Bahamas embracing you, including you, and decision-making in the Bahamas regarding the community?
Well, I sit, the last thing I went to was when they were talking about the review, the constitutional review on violence, talking about how do we amend the violence, gender-based violence against women, people, all forms of violence. So I'm included in those spaces through the Department of Gender and Family Affairs. At the international level, when I meet my decision-makers and my gatekeepers, I try to build a rapport with them, like foreign affairs. Prior to me going to any place in the international arena, I try to have these meetings and these conversations so it won't come up as a surprise. Because in Latin America at the OAS, that's a whole different ballgame.
Ah.
They are strong and they're in their decision makers' face and their policy. But with me, I have to use diplomacy.
You hold a conversation with government officials to have a general consensus of our official position. And then you represent the Bahamas. You're not representing yourself.
No, it's not about me. It's about the citizens of our country. How do we ensure that we are on the same page as relates that no citizen should suffer violence? And that's the message. When we go to these international spaces and conference, we want to make sure that we're on the same page, that none of our citizens should be discriminated against because of their sexual orientation or their gender identity. When we go there, we want to ensure that every citizen in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas can be able to report violence when they go to a police station. But that's not always the case. So that's why it's important to have organizations such as myself on the ground doing the groundwork before we reach these international organizations. So again, Latin America is totally different from the Bahamas. Their advocacy is very in your face, ratchet. Yeah. But for us, we have to use diplomacy. And again, it takes
a
conversation.
Is it because we're a conservative nation?
I think it's because we don't have the knowledge. Our decision makers and our gatekeepers don't have the knowledge or the jargon, or they want to help. Mm-hmm. But how can you help if you don't understand? How can you help if you don't know that these people exist? The only thing you know, the Bible says, kill them, burn them, whatever, you know. But again, when it comes to the citizen, the state has an obligation to protect all citizens, especially vulnerable communities. But again, if these vulnerable communities aren't identified, that's why it takes a collaborative effort with both civil society and the government and the religious community to come together and to be able to talk about the citizens that we're not including, those that we're leaving behind. And again, the Bahamas was the first, the first in the Caribbean region to decriminalize same-sex sexual sex.
I think that Bahamians tend to forget that. Mm-hmm. And I remember that's as early as 1992. 91, I remember when that happened. I have a question from the text line asking you to explain what queer means.
Well, queer is a northern term. Like, it's like people say the alphabet community keeps growing and growing and growing.
Every day is like
something
another
level. Yes. But the core letters are LGBTIQ. And then the Q is used for questioning or questing or queer. People are on a journey, like in college, people are questioning their sexuality in these fraternities and sororities. Things happen and they question, oh my God, I had an experience. Mm-hmm. Like, am I this type of person? Again, sexuality is fluid, and because we don't talk about sexual orientation, we think sex is taboo. We think loving the same person is taboo because of our culture of religion that bams that into our being. It is looked at, like, people don't even think that sex is enjoyable. You can't even have that conversation with a married couple. Mm. You know? So again, cultural values, these things we talk about, cultural values, what our culture in the Caribbean is, what our culture in the Bahamas is. But there has been a shift as it relates to attitudes when it comes to LGBTI citizens, because there are parents, there are brothers, there are sisters, there are uncles, there are co-workers.
We've become more matured, especially now that we have athletes, professional athletes now, who openly identify as being a part of the community. I see that Bahamians are, for lack of a better word, more tolerant.
Tolerant. But that's the lowest form of...
Yes, I think that's a negative term myself.
Yeah, I would never use tolerance. I think what it is the message is quite clear. That's your sexual orientation or your gender identity has nothing to do with your ability to perform as a citizen or to represent your country. In times past, they would have taken LGB, meaning the sexual orientation citizens, and rip them apart. They can't get a government post. They can't be in front of the media. They can't do this. They can't do that. But these people are the talents. These people demonized because of who they are. And a lot of persons, even look at our politicians, they've taken beatings because of their perceived or known sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. Them not coming out and saying who they are, which they don't have to. Mm-hmm. But if they do, they would shift the whole dynamics and the paradigm as it relates to citizens who are a part of this community who suffer violence. And my message is that no citizen should be able not to navigate this country, not having access to education, not having access to healthcare, not having access to justice, not being able to report acts of violence against them into a police station without being stigmatized. Oh, if y'all wasn't like this, this wasn't going to happen to you. I don't think anybody in this country would disagree with me that we want any citizen or resident or visitor to suffer violence or discrimination at the hands of state official or state agencies.
Definitely. And we must remember that trans people are Bahamians. And there must be value in being a Bahamian. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that you must have access and all the benefits of being Bahamian and Bahamian altogether. Yeah, so that is a concern. And I see that you always bring that up, you know.
So what they do is they try to bash it in with marriage. Oh, they want to be gay marriage and they want to be dancing in the streets and doing. No.
You all want to have your carnival.
Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah, me talking. Yeah.
There's something called civil partnerships. And the Commonwealth now, the Caribbean region is talking about this.
Yeah.
How do these people protect their assets? If you had a parent that never accepted you, but you did well in life and you became wealthy, you became this millionaire, you became just able to survive and you died. Mm-hmm. And the partner that supported you won't be able to get a dime, a nickel, or a dollar because there's no law to protect you in getting your assets after death.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that right on the other side of the break. And I also want to talk about youth in terms of they identifying themselves as trans early and their parents how are the parents able to assist them? Mm-hmm. So that's two topics I want to talk about.
Okay.
So right after the commercial break, I think this should be our last commercial break for the show, and so we'll be right on the next side.
There's something inside so strong.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
What it takes, I'm not fooling up.
The journey, you know, you drive.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio. And on the break, I was asking Alexis, why didn't she immigrate? Why didn't you run to Canada like other people? And I have a texter who said, you sound so brilliant. Why stay in the Bahamas where you could be thriving in some South American country? Why are you putting up with the frustrations? Why did you stay home?
I think what it is for me is, like, people have... Asylum is an option. Asylum, I've been offered that. I've been offered that numerous of times. Asylum is a human right. And as a citizen and as a country, you, that's a human right that you personally have to decide. I have a family, I have family ties, I have nephews, I have nieces, I have a sister, I have a brother. I have family ties. Everybody just can pick up and go. I may be the breadwinner in my house. I might be the one there supporting my grandmother.
So how...
I might be...
On an offhand question, how do you make money? I know you have your own foundation. That's where your primary income come from, or you work in tangent with...
I work. I host. I work. I have a restaurant. I host events.
Okay.
I
professional.
Yes.
Good.
I find everything that's available for me as a citizen. I go after. I want them to tell me no.
You go. Girl.
So once they tell me no, then I know. Okay, that's it for you, Lexis. It's time to go. Mm-hmm. You know. But again, this is why the advocacy and the visibility is important, because people need to identify and people need to see somebody that, hey, she was out of the trenches. That's a Fox Hill girl, but she doing what she have to do. Mm-hmm. So again, it's your sexual orientation and your gender identity does not limit your opportunities. But in a country where the state is responsible, for all citizens. But if these citizens stay not visible, how would the state know they even have these persons? So even in the census report, we're agitating and advocating that we need to include, when you go into these households and people identify, how do you, every form, if you don't have it, I put it trans person. Boom. You get a call back, what you mean by that? And that's how the conversation
starts.
So we have
a census now. You shouldn't say that trans persons are not identified.
No, that's not on the form.
So there's something that you are lobbying also.
Yes.
And I want to talk about your concerns and your advocacy and for change in the Bahamas in terms of what government can give rights to the community. But before I go there, recently...
Well, when you say rights...
No, I let you guide that whole conversation, but I want you to give comment on this. Recently, I saw in a newspaper a parent who happens to have a trans child, or from the write-up. Mm-hmm. She was writing the notice in the newspaper to have her child name change, mm-hmm, to identify her child as male.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, how important is it for a parent to be knowledgeable about their child's sexuality, to be able to embrace it? Or is it something that they seek help? And is there any resources? Is your organization providing any resources to help parents who go through the same thing, say, hey, something is wrong here. I don't know what to do. My child says, or in this case, my male child says, my apparent male child says she is a female, right? Or vice versa, right? Is there any resources for them to go and say, I need help?
Well, the law is very quite clear as it relates to deed polls. Any citizen or person wanting to change their name, especially those that want to change their children's name, they have to go to the parent is the one that does that, right? So the law is quite clear. Anybody, any citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas can change their name. That's not a special right. Mm-hmm. That's not for a group of people. That's a right that's given to you. The parent, every day you see parents changing, man, this no good man, I'm moving your daddy name off this thing and I'm putting my name. So that's their right as a Bahamian citizen, right? So as it relates to the issue of trans people and trans kids, my advocacy is always this. Wait until the child is an adult to be able to identify themselves. So you cannot identify for that child. And I've always been a stern advocate of that. Coercing, grooming, all of that stuff, we don't do. You understand? And we're very quiet tactful when it relates to young trans people or young youth who identify, which is not much in our country. Mm-hmm. Again, it goes by your social economic background. The boy in Bain Town ain't gonna come to us and say, I want, because the mommy will beat that out of him or send him to church. But again, if we look at the person and we look at the different types of social economic backgrounds that have the means and the resources to be able to create a safe space for their child after changing their name. Mm-hmm. They're able probably to, once they change the name, put the child in a private school. Mm-hmm. They're able to provide hormonal treatment or other treatments for that child during that period. So again, it goes back to the scale and the balance of social economic background where you're coming from. Like, Bain Town kids can't even afford school books or parents can't even afford lunch. And even if they identify and they want to help their children, they can't. Because of the social economic background. But as it relates to that particular case, the right to determine the child, the parent, that's the parent's decision, that's the parent's child, a child of the parent. So they know the signs. And I assume they are guided by the World Health Professional Organization, or they're seeking some professional help as relates to the gender identity of that child, and they're not choosing on behalf of that child.
Let's talk about your concerns, because I know you have concerns about the laws of the Bahamas when it comes to trans people in terms of getting access to rights and benefits that all Bahamians should have, right? And I have a texter who said, you hinted that a trans couple who are married and cannot get survival benefits, right? And they say, well, there are ways to circumvent that.
Yeah.
And you can go it this way. But I think you're saying that there's no need to do these extra stuff. Mm-hmm. It should be a right automatically. You know?
Correct. What it is because we're not having these conversations, we're not including them in the national dialogue. We're not, when we talk about citizens, we're not including vulnerable communities. Even, let's just even look at access. If you go to the House of Parliament, let's just we have somebody who wants to run for Parliament from the differently able community. They're unable to access that space because there's not a way to get up to speak for their constituents. Mm. So we need to realize that it's intersectional advocacy. Our advocacy is not just in silos. We need to begin to work together when we talk about the citizens of our country leaving no citizen behind. And that's what I would always talk about. You would talk about having to go a different route, leaving benefits behind for a partner. But why should I have to go through that? When I am a tax VAT-paying citizen, why should I have to go the extra route and pay extra money on top of what you're paying? Mm-hmm. When I go to BPL and BP, they ask for that light bill, they didn't say, we need an extra $26, or if that bill is that bill, that's what I got to pay just like you. So why put this group of persons through hardship? Why put them through an extra extra route of getting the things that they need as a Bahamian citizen. It's the same thing. The difference is we mix the conversation and the conversation gets directed in the wrong way when we start talking about morality. What is morality? Who decides morality? The state, the church, who decides morality? And that's where it has to be a clear definition and the separation of church and state. The church can advise because the church is an NGO just like any other group. Mm-hmm. They can advise the government and they have their place. They have their right and they have their place. So does civil society. So does vulnerable groups. So does LGBTI Bahamas. And the access to these things as a Bahamian citizen is what they're crying for. No special rights. These people don't want any special rights. They want to go into Princess Margaret Hospital. And if they have an NCD, they want to be able to say, "Doctor, I think I have sugar. Mm-hmm. I don't want you taking my passport and my record and showing, oh my God, this looks like a woman, but look what they say."
Yeah, that's what they say.
So this is what we talk about. When I go into a police station or when they go into a police station to report violence, we don't want you calling a bunch of officers, "Man, look at
come
these
look
sissy
at this.
People. Look at his
mm-hmm.
track. Oh, look at his son." We don't want that. You won't do that to the regular citizens, so why do it to them? So that's what it's about for us, to be able to educate and sensitize our own Bahamian citizens. These people are Bahamian citizens too. They're looking for no special rights, and it's not about no marriage, because they won't go married. Like they say, they go to Canada, mm-hmm. they go to Florida, they get their legal document, and tell the Bahamas says, civil unions, they'll bring their paper home and say, "Come, I doing this." Mm-hmm. But the priority for them is access to education, mm-hmm. access to employment, access to justice, and to be able to be free from stigma, discrimination, and violence.
So how do I get in contact with you, especially if I'm a parent and have a child that needs affirmation, right? How do I get in contact with you to have you as a resource to help me, to help my child, to guide my child, give me advice so I don't cause more harm than good?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. It's Alexis, A-L-E-X-U-S, DeMarco hyphen M-A-R-C-O. On Facebook, or you can visit us, the DeMarco organization, which is a separate organization that just deals with providing resources for persons living with or infected by HIV. Mm-hmm. The organization, the Bahamas Organization of LGBTI Affairs, that's where we try to deal with the citizenry of LGBTI citizens. That's where you can find me. And UC Trans on Facebook. So the advocacy is intersectional. Like, it's a lot of work to be done. And like they say, why don't I just pick up and go or go... been offered that, but again, why should another person have to leave when you can start the process here?
I appreciate you coming, DeMarco. We're going to go on the news now. It's thank you very much, and it's been another Guardian Radio in the AM. This is CA Nuri, and I had a wonderful conversation today, and I learned a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.